Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is Janine, and you're listening to Lunch with Loudon. Coffee Talk Radio shows are part of the Coffee Party Be the Media Project. You can join our team at www.coffeepartyusa.com/volunteer. As a matter of fact, last night, we had a conference call with quite a few folks who are interested in Be the Media. We had a wonderful conversation, and we should be promoting the blog talk version of that call in the next day or two. So thanks to everybody who participated in the newsroom conference call last night. And thanks for everybody who's interested in Be the Media. So I'm looking at my window at about a foot of snow that has accumulated since about 1 a.m. this morning. It's supposed to keep falling for another 24 hours at least. So I've got my fleece on, my third cup of coffee, and I'm ready to go. How about you, Ms. Debbie Lynn Molyneux?
Oh, I am just so excited to be here today. It's snowing here, too, but we just have a trace up here in Portland right now. And beautiful cold weather. It's a good day to snuggle up with some hot chocolate.
Excellent, excellent. Hot chocolate, not so much my cup of coffee, but ready to go. Ready to go anyway. Sometimes I put chocolate in my coffee. So that's my lunch today. Is more warm beverages because it is definitely chilly out here. It's like 18 degrees. So we're having sympathy for folks on the East Coast that have been under this for a while. Early December, we had 10 days of sub-freezing weather. So I guess we're all in this climate change thing together. So
indeed.
Today, huh?
Okay. I was agreeing with you. Yes, we are.
Oh, yes. Luckily, I have not only a wood stove, but I also have a gas fireplace, so I'm covered either way. So today, Debbie Lynn and I want to talk to everyone about how controlling the narrative works and what that means, because one of the things we talk about in Be the Media is there's sort of the 1% narrative, and then there's the 99% narrative, and it can be a tricky thing, so I thought we'd continue that conversation. If you've not had a chance to read the post about today's show, I'll share it really quickly here because it was very, very short. America is beautiful. We, Debbie Lynn and I, love the amazing Super Bowl ad with the many young women of many cultures singing America the Beautiful in many languages. Not everyone did. You can see a collection of responses to this Super Bowl ad on our Lunch with Loudon Facebook page. What you're going to see in those responses is you don't have to like Coca-Cola to agree with the ad's message of diversity and unity, how they're not necessarily mutually exclusive. And you can love Coke but not approve the message. Interesting. Our question today is this: why the disparity between the Coke message of unity and the Coke practice of using money and politics to control or influence things like the farm bill, the anti-GMO labeling bill, and even the legality of BPA in plastic? Any marketing department, now here's the sort of beginning of our answer to that. Any marketing department has one mission: sell more products. At Coke, they know their target market is diverse and young. They also know that we, the people, crave unity and belonging. Our desire for that American dream has been the Coca-Cola marketing strategy for over 40 years, and it's highly successful. Some of us remember the 70s campaign, I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Lovely, lovely ad. So, also in our post, he sort of jousted, or he didn't joust, but we both gave you a point of view. Debbie Lynn said this: while we appreciate the artistry of Coca-Cola's commercial, would we prefer the company to live up to its own projected image? How do we make it so? I like Star Trek references, Debbie Lynn. And I said, So how about we go rogue, hijack this video, make it our own, and resist the temptation to be sold? End of post. So my whole point was the ad was a beautiful thing. To watch the ad, if you go to, you can then go down the sidebar and click all the related videos that go with the ad. You get to hear the song totally in Hebrew, the song in Spanish, the song in, what's the Native American language, Kirsi?
Karis.
Karis. There you go. Thank you. And these young ladies who sang were all interviewed. They're all bilingual. They're all lovely. And so it's an interesting immersion in the beauty of what we see in America today, those of us who see diversity as a strength and who see the unification of these rich and varied cultures to form a strong and prosperous and I'm looking for a word that means not unhappy with each other. So, you know, a coexisting collection of cultures that form. Closure here. I'm going to ask Debbie, I'll lead off and then I'll ask Debbie Lynn to just close. But mine is that I try to vote with my money every chance I get. So Coke is off my list and has been for a long time. I do make exception when the only water I can buy at a gas station on a road trip is Dasani, and I will confess to that. I have to say, though, if you go to the Lunch with Loudon Facebook page, you'll see a lot of articles about this posted, not the least of which is that, you know, Coca-Cola left Alec almost 2 years ago. But before we get into those details, Debbie Lynn, do you have anything to disclose about Coca-Cola?
Yeah, my disclosure is that Coca-Cola is my vice. I am addicted to having one a day, and I choose to buy the Mexican Coke from Mexico that has the cane sugar sweetener in it instead of the high fructose corn syrup, which is genetically modified. So one a day, Coca-Cola is my thing.
There you go. I posted this a couple days ago on my personal Facebook page, and one of my very best friends answered back, "Don't worry, Janine, I buy enough Coke for both of us, so, you know, what can I say?" But, you know, and we can share personal experiences, and I hope that you will share your experience, not only with the ad, but your relationship to the product, and whether or not you think there's a disparity between those two, by calling 646-929-2495, and pressing 1 to put yourself in the host queue. Of course, you can just listen in on that number, and you can stream us live now or stream us later, thanks to the miracle of the Internet and Blog Talk Radio. So what we're most interested in here today is how Americans can find themselves between this rock and a hard place, that the disconnect between this glorious art found in the ad and the controversial actions of the corporation and the surprising outburst of offense by some kind of made this interesting Twitter swirl and interesting conversation that's been going on in the blogosphere and on the Internet ever since. I'm interested, too, in whether or not you think that's just a strategy. One person who commented on my post on Join the Coffee Party Movement page on Facebook today said, "This is a brilliant campaign. We're going to be talking about it for weeks. You couldn't have put your product out there any better than to stir up a little controversy." What do you think of that one, Debbie Lynn?
Yeah. Well, and it's true, and I think that the marketers who put this ad together absolutely knew what they were doing and knew who they would piss off, and I think they knew who they would attract and be appealing to, and they knew who their market is. Yeah, and
hey,
they're going to...
Go ahead.
They're going to be selling more Coke because of it.
Yeah, one person on my post commented back, "I don't even drink soda, but I'm going to go buy a Coke." And so I thought, well, okay, mission accomplished. So here's some other things. I have to look at my own prejudice, and I think that that's a very grown-up thing to do, is why did I have such a resistance to who did this ad? Well, at the same time, I adored what this ad was about. And, you know, we have some experience here in Oregon where there was a legislation, I think it was last session, to eliminate the use of BPA in, you know, babies' sippy cups and, you know, bottles, plastic bottles for babies. And mm-hmm. it was actually held on to in committee that was chaired by a man who lives in Southern Oregon and is an executive with the Coca-Cola bottling company down there. As far as I could tell, there is absolutely no relationship between sippy cups and Coca-Cola, but there is there are people in the world who want to see BPA also taken out of the lining of aluminum cans, which, of course, would affect Coca-Cola. And I don't mm-hmm. know about whether or not there's BPA in their bottles. Their plastic bottles. I actually tried to find that out and couldn't. So if anybody can call in and talk about that one, I'm very interested because it's basically this bill was held in committee until the legislature expired. You know, they have a time limit, and it went away. So even though everything monitored by our Oregon and other and Oregon environmental groups was that there was popular support for this bill. So this is just an example of how money influences politics, right? And, of course, if the Coffee Party stands for nothing else, well, of course, we stand for stability, reason, and our number one issue is money and politics, then where do we go from here in terms of where do we go in terms of being clear about the difference between a beautiful message and a corporate position?
Well, I think, you know, part of this, Janine, too, is about understanding the, you know, the marketing department is doing exactly what they are supposed to be doing. And the company, as it's set up and as most of the corporations in our country are set up, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is returning an investment, you know, returning, providing a return for their shareholders. And being good community stewards is usually secondary to that, if it's even at all present. I think Coca-Cola probably has some sense of being a community steward of some sort, but their first mission is still to be, you know, the world's leading soda. And they have all these other product lines, you know, the Dasani water and probably some of the other energy drinks now because that's cutting into the soda market, that are line extensions to help them maintain that that world dominance, if you will, over beverages people are drinking in the world. And this
am I a sellout? If I love the ad, am I a sellout?
Of course not. You know, it's...
Well, tell me why.
because there's the one thing that the marketers do, and I remember this from my days of advertising and marketing, is they're attempting to evoke an emotion in us and that we then associate with their product. And so just because we feel the emotion doesn't mean we have to connect it to the product. But the sentiment that was exhibited in the commercial is beautiful. The marketers, they did a beautiful job of providing this rich diversity with beautiful imagery that evokes these feelings of like connectedness and the American dream is possible and we're all in this together. And every image, every breath that every girl took, every word she spoke or sang was all crafted to deliver this emotional response in us, and they did it very well. Advertisers do some of the best work I've ever seen. And just because
yeah,
we like
really
it doesn't mean we have to associate that feeling with their product, which is what they're trying to do. Because then we think, oh, if I just have a Coke, then I'm going to have that feeling of belonging and happiness, and I can do anything if I just drink a Coke.
That's right.
You know. That's the magical thinking that happens. But that, so that, you know, and it does work. You know, if people are not really conscious of what's happening in these commercials, that's what's happening. And Coke is very subtle in their appearances of where the product is even placed. You know, it's sometimes it's an old dated sign on a building behind the people, or sometimes it's just, you just see the shape of a bottle being passed around, or, I mean, it's really subtle. You only see the logo at the end of the commercial, so it's very, very well done to evoke all of this emotion.
Yes, I agree with that. And I also, I'm going to stick by my notion that we ought to hijack this ad and, you know, I'm going to show it at the coffee party
absolutely.
Page. Yeah, I'm going to show it on the coffee party page once a week or something because I just love it. But I do think it's important that, you know, we've had whole shows dedicated to controlling the narrative. And this is an interesting technique because what we're talking about is the Coca-Cola position on diversity and unity as opposed to whether or not high fructose corn syrup is good for you, whether or not there should be BPA in the, you know, the plastics that we put beverages in, and whether or not we should label GMOs, because those are actually things, you know, or whether or not you approve of the farm bill that they supported, or whether or not we appreciate their lobbying efforts for special treatment or favorable, mm-hmm. the term favorable treatment on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And so it does sort of take their the conversation about Coca-Cola out of just what part do they play in this wonderful country of ours and sort of point to all the rest of us like a mirror saying, this is who you are, and this is who, you know, and you love who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then the, behind the mirror, on the other side of this one-way mirror, is this, you know, kind of self-serving agenda of a multinational corporation that does what it does, including, if you go to the Lunch with Auden Facebook page, you'll see a post of a lobbying disclosure report that shows, you know, they had to disclose trying to influence Mexico to allow, to stop linking high fructose corn syrup and obesity. You know, and it's like, come on. High fructose corn syrup and obesity are to foodies like climate change was to environmental scientists in the 70s. We're mm-hmm. going to have a lot of fall de gras and we're going to have whatever, but in my humble opinion, when the chips are down, the facts are in, and it's undeniable, we're going to find that high fructose corn syrup was probably the worst thing ever introduced to the American food supply. Maybe DDT was bad, but you know what I'm saying? It's like it is a thing of our time. As a matter of fact, I heard somebody, and I wish I will try to source it and post it on Lunch with Auden Facebook page. I actually read an interview, I believe it was someone with the World Health Organization. I could be mistaken. But one of the things they were saying is don't be afraid of high fructose corn syrup. Americans don't smoke. And because Americans don't smoke, there's all this morbidity and mortality associated with smoking that we're not experiencing. So that our morbidity and mortality numbers compare favorably to places like Europe where they do smoke, but they don't have high fructose corn syrup. So what he was kind of saying is, guys, what you've done is successfully trade the risk of smoking with the risk of eating ability as a food supplier. And I was just in shock. So there was no talk about if you eliminated both smoking and high fructose corn syrup, or the fact that there are certain individuals who could smoke every day, all day, and never have a problem with it, and other people who can't even be around it have a problem. Same thing with high fructose corn syrup. There are genetic propensities, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here we are not talking about the product provided, but talking about who the product is provided to. And that, my friends, is controlling the narrative. So if you'd like to have something to say about that, you can call in at 646-929-2495. I see all kinds of folks in both online and in our caller queue, but no one, oh, we've got one hand open. And we'll get to him in just a second, 602-620. But I also see that there are people in chat, and Debbie Lynn will relay anything, any question you have, any statement you have, any link you'd like to share from chat into this conversation. So I'm going to come back to, am I a sellout? Or is this something we can leverage? Is this, can we positively leverage the conversation that this ad generated and sort of and somehow separate it from the product that was being sold.
Mm-hmm.
My experience so far on several websites, and the answer is no. A huge number of people got into the Coke versus Pepsi. In other words, it's not going to happen by itself, and you and I, Debbie Lynn, are going to be the ones, along with others who feel the same way we do, to sort of help tease that out for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, the first step in being able to, you know, appreciate, you know, the art of the commercial and the feelings that it evokes separate from the product is just, you know, first of all, it's just awareness. And that happens, you know, in stages for different people, as people, you know, start to wake up to the power that advertising actually has in our lives. And it, so, you know, can we separate it out on a massive level? You know, I don't know. Could we take over the commercial and, you know, do something funny and maybe replace some of the Coke logos from the background and stuff with some other things and more fun? Absolutely.
Right.
You know, that might be a fun video project.
There you go. Well, and then, of course, there's a bunch of videos that are responding to either negatively or positively to the ad, and we've shared those on our Lunch with Lauden Facebook page as well. You know, the Twitter storm that happened because of this was surprising. Of course, it was, this is amazing, was, and I don't remember what the hashtag for that was. And then there was also, was it Speak English? Was that the hashtag? Where people were screaming about how dare they sing America the Beautiful in seven languages, one of which mm-hmm. was English. And one of the comments on my page was, well, wouldn't it have been better if these girls had sung the song in English and we could have heard their accents? And obviously that was a person who hadn't witnessed on these videos that, A, these girls are all bilingual. At least mm-hmm. bilingual. I don't know how many languages they speak. They at least speak two. And two, there was really no accent on any of them when they spoke.
Right.
Ever so slightly, on, maybe on one or two. But all of these girls spoke English. So if they had sung the song in English, there would have been no accent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought these were ironic comments. And it was kind of like they were trying to see the beauty of it. They'd experienced the beauty of it, but they just had to be critical. Now, the other thing that we see is this has spawned a huge conversation about immigration reform, which is interesting. Spawned a big conversation about English as our, quote-unquote, official language, even though they called it the language of government, which is fair. That's a fair term. English is our language of government. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
And again, so we're talking about immigration. We're talking about English as the language of government. We're talking about melting, if we're really a melting pot, how should we sing this song? And we're not talking about, I'm going to go back to it, high fructose corn syrup, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, BPA in plastics, the Farm Bill, you know.
Well,
we're not talking about the corporate person. We're not talking about the corporate product. We're talking about America, and that's where I want it to stay.
Mm-hmm. And I think there are times when the corporate interests of Coca-Cola line up with what we want. You know, if we're talking about immigration, you know, the corporate interests for Coca-Cola of having this whole new youthful, diverse market to market their products to is probably lined up with immigration reform. So, you know, that might be a good thing.
Right. Well, it's generating, and again, on our Facebook page, Lunch with Lauden, you're going to see a lot of articles that are discussing that point of view, like can we leverage this to something. We've probably talked to each other long enough, and we'll bring in a few more people. We have a couple of people in the queue now. The first line I'm going to open is area code 661. Welcome to Lunch with Lauden. Oh, hand up, hand down. Okay, pen went down.
Okay.
Just kidding. Okay, so now I'm going to open up area code 620. I believe this is our friend Jack.
This is Jack Golding.
Hey, Jack Golding.
Yeah.
What did you think of the ad?
I haven't. Talking about Super Bowl, I think, or some ads.
Yes.
Talking about Coca-Cola. Yeah, I heard that singing in four or five different languages.
Seven, actually. But yes, wasn't it beautiful?
Whatever I heard, I couldn't think it was some Oriental language. I think maybe Chinese. I don't know.
Well, actually, if you take a look, there's let's see if we could do it, Debbie Lynn. There's English, Hebrew, Hebrew
Arabic,
is one of them.
Arabic,
French,
Hindi, English, French,
Spanish,
Mandarin. Catalog or something like that, which is the Filipino language.
And the Native American language. Language.
And American
language, Native language, like what, Sioux or something like that?
I think it was a Pueblo Indian language. I'll look it up while we're talking.
I think maybe it helps world relations, because we get supposed to be more of a melting pot, and the immigration. I heard something about Obama is with Obamacare was because he was hiding because he wants to change this a few things in the Obamacare.
Well, you know, Jack,
it's more vicious. More vicious with the Republicans, especially their extreme right wing.
That's really great, Jack, because, you know, next week, this is going to be our topic. We're going to be talking about, you know, the shakeout information about Obamacare, about how the president is the rhetoric. We'll talk again about rhetoric from both sides of the aisle and from all kinds of people about what's happening with healthcare. And I'm actually going to share my experience trying to have what I call socially responsible Medicare, which is just as big a challenge as anyone signing up for Affordable Care Act coverage. So thanks, as always, Jack. And I look forward to you calling in next week when we talk about the status of healthcare today. The next line I'm going to open up is 661. Here we go. Hand up again. Welcome to Lunch with Loudon.
Sorry. Great show. I'm sorry about that. I had the mute on. But anyhow, I actually have a question because Debbie Lynn said something that was interesting. She said that sometimes what the companies like Coke are doing line up with what the best interest of the general population. Sometimes it's just in the mere interest of the shareholders, which, you know, that is a responsibility. I understand that it's a responsibility of the corporation. Don't you think then that is one of the reasons we must have a government strong enough to have regulation so that we can, when Coke or all these guys do the things that necessarily has to be in the best interest of the companies that we are taking care of, that ad notwithstanding. Because, tell you the truth, I love the ad, and I didn't know there was going to be a hoopla with the ad until the day after. I was completely shocked when I saw what occurred, because I really loved it.
Well, I was shocked too, and although people in that Twitter storm, there were people who said, "Uh-oh, watch out, here it comes." You know, as soon as they heard it, but there are people in this country, and there are cultures that are hugely protective of their idea of what America is, what it should be, and how what that should look like. And I think it's kind of like a movie. It's almost like you read a book and you go to the movie and you're disappointed about the movie because it's not like the book. And this is a crazy analogy, but I really think sometimes that people have like read the book or bought the narrative about what America is. And then they turn around and they look out into the real world, and it's like the movie isn't like the book. And so they got to choose, do you want the movie or do you want the book? And some people tend to say, no, I'm sticking with the book. And other people go, oh, my gosh, this is an amazing interpretation of that book. Look at the reality of this movie. And, you know, one of the comments by one of the young ladies who was singing was basically, it's not whether or not America is multicultural and multiracial. It's how are you going to deal with that? Because it is multicultural and it is multiracial, and there's no amount of going back to some book and saying, no, well, check out the movie because it's true, you know? And
yeah.
I think that's an interesting disparity for people. When the dots don't line up, they go somewhere else.
That is so true. That is so true.
And so now I'm going to ask you, Egberto, am I a sellout because I love this? You know, can we actually go forward and take advantage of this message and keep the conversation alive that it generates and not be protecting the corporate person, the multinational corporate person, Coca-Cola, who is, you know, fighting BPA legislation, fighting GMO labeling legislation, struggling for PPP preference, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
No.
Where does that fall
for you?
I
don't think you could possibly consider yourself a sellout. First of all, that's not a fair question to me, right? I know you, so I know that that's definitely not true. But for those who would be looking at what you're wanting to do from the outside, they may be the ones that have that question. And then for that, I then remind them that they have a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, or somebody that is working for a corporation. And in so doing, or the vast majority or a plurality of your families sellouts? No, they're not. I mean, we live in an economy or we were born into a particular type of economy, and we have to live within the constructs of that economy. And what we do is we kind of, like in any other area, we optimize. You know, I don't like ideologues in any directions, right? What I mean by an ideologue is you can't allow an ideology that you have to prevent you from actually moving forward or doing something positive. You can't not adopt something that is positive from somebody else, somewhere else, or otherwise because of an ideology if it's going to make things better for the whole. So I am with you. However you can use whatever is out there to make things better for everybody else could not possibly be called a sellout.
Well, thank you very much. Now, I want you to hang on for a second, Egberto. And it's come to our attention that some people have not actually heard this music. And so we have the opportunity to play it for you now. So, Debbie Lynn, if you can cue, let's listen to this amazing version of America the Beautiful.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, por tus olas de granos ámbar, your peace in the Zacote, the Ibaba Namala Brutas, America, America, God shed his grace on
powerful.
That's amazing. So how many of those languages do you understand, Egberto?
Just the one that, the first one and the one that they did in Spanish for a little, little tiny bit.
Yeah. Well, and it's course, there's dialects, but then I have one friend who understood four of them, you know. And,
wow.
And I think that, yes, yes. And I think that it's pretty amazing that all these young ladies are bilingual at least. You know, they at least speak English and the language they sing in, and that they are all so proud to be Americans. And so, storm of negativity, I was saddened because I felt like it was such a knee-jerk reaction to something that was really quite beautiful, that all these girls did speak English, that they all were proud to be Americans, that they were Americans, and that an opportunity was missed, because I think if I had been in that other camp, what I would have hoped for or what I might have said was, now these are the people we welcome.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and I think, you know what, I'm going to go back to, you know, having watched all of the full version of each language, the full version of the song, and then watched the making of the commercial where they did a little five-minute, Coca-Cola did a little five-minute vignette. It's on their YouTube page. It was really interesting because they hit all of the buttons on us about the, you know, working hard for the American dream and coming together and being accepted. And then they actually went in and addressed this issue of intolerance and why and hate and why and people who are not accepting of those who are different from them within this little 5-minute story that they told about the making of the commercial. And I thought that was actually really well done because they showed people's pain of not being accepted for who they are. And yet there's still a tremendous sense of belonging in the finished piece, in this 5-minute finished piece. So it was very well done. And I would actually recommend people watch that.
I think so, too. And the other thing but I was left with this, and the reason we're even doing this show today is because here's where I was left with that. The artist who, you know, whether they are the young ladies singing or the videographers, you know, the people who interviewed and found those voices that were so lovely together, and, all, you know, that artistic team was clearly in line with the message. You know, those people and all of them were lined up with this notion of unity, diversity, not mutually exclusive. As a matter of fact, essential to be for the power of what America has become and what she can become in the future. But I was so juxtaposed, you know, the juxtaposition here for me with the ruthless business organization that I know Coca-Cola to be, right? Whether it's issues that I've directly come into combat with their lobbyists with, or whether it's issues I'm familiar with and know others who are sort of, you know, doing battle. Yeah, it's really a multinational corporate bully. And the product that they sell is not my idea of health food, although it won't impact all people the same way. And the farm bill they support, and the corn industry they support, and the, you know, and so I guess I keep asking people if I'm a sellout by loving this piece of art, because again, it's an interesting tactic to reflect back that way.
Janine, I'd be more of a sellout than you because I still drink their product, but it's almost like asking you to not like Woody Allen movies because he's been accused of being a child molester.
Well, actually, I don't, and because I can't look at him. Because he's a child molester. I haven't gone to a Woody Allen movie since I knew it. But see, that's because I can't separate them. I can't. You know, we have a hand up from area code 401. I think it's our friend Linda. And I think I'll add you to the conversation now. So, oops, I'm trying to. And I'm not having cursor support today. So I'm
Hello.
Trying to. Debbie Lynn, would you open? Oh, Linda, is your mic open?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. Thank you very much.
All right. Yeah, good. Thanks. This is an interesting topic. I don't know. I didn't get to watch the Super Bowl, so I saw the commercial after, but I didn't see all the little extra tidbits that you guys have been talking about. But I think it does the same to me as when I hear the song in English. It's just a powerful, moving piece that, you know, is usually sung at a game. And to play it at the NFL game, at the Super Bowl, I think that was a pretty good move. I don't know whether I don't think you're a sellout. I don't think it'll sell any more Coke because of the commercial. But I thought that was interesting because, you know, the NFL is having a problem with some diversity in their locker room and everything. So
yes, they are.
So it probably was a good choice. But I thought it was powerful and that it was all young women. That was another strong statement. That they
yeah, I thought so too. I thought so too. And so, yeah, I hadn't actually thought about it, the venue, like where they launched this campaign, although, of course, that's a very powerful venue to launch at, because I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I TiVo'd it so that I could fast forward through and get all the commercials. But I found myself so enthralled by the Seahawks performance that I ended up watching the whole game. So that was pretty amazing.
If it was the Patriots, I would have watched it. But
that's right, Linda. You're in New Hampshire, right? Or Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, yep. And I work at Gillette Stadium, so, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty amazing. So you're voting for, you can separate the message from the people who pay for the message.
Yeah, I kind of did. I think I do that with a lot of commercials and a lot of things that I see because, damn, I really wouldn't be buying too much. I would definitely have to be out on the farm making everything myself if I did. There's so many things that I don't like, you know, that we do that, you know. And there are times I really send my message out about Walmart and the big box stores to people, but there are times when I have to, you know, I say, okay, I have to give in and go. But what are you going to do? That's just a place and time we're living in, you know?
Exactly. Well, do you want to stay on while we, let's see, I'm going to open up 503. We have a contentious comment here. Hello. Welcome to Lunch with Loudon.
Thank you, Janine. It's Dan. How are you?
I'm great, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this. Am I?
Oh,
sellout?
Yes, you can. This hits on so many raw nerves for me, but I don't want to talk about those. Let's talk about Janine. First of all, no, you're not a sellout, right? Let me try to do it that way, right? You know, you're not a sellout. You can look at a commercial like any other art form and just appreciate its beauty, the way it's put together, and the way it makes you feel, without having to associate it with the product. If we decide that the advertisers can reach into our brains and manipulate us, the day I decide that somebody can do that to me without my permission, without me actually making that choice to go out and buy that product, I'll off myself. I mean, I think it's safe to say we can take enough personal responsibility that nobody can, quote, trick us into buying a product, or I just don't believe in that. So that's cynical to the good, I guess. So, no. And as far as the product and, like, Debbie Lynn's version of, like, is she a sellout? No, Debbie Lynn, you're not a sellout. I gave up a long time ago on boycotts and the idea of boycotts because of this. Buy something without plastic in it. How hard is that? It's pretty hard, right?
Really hard.
Every time
you
buy something with any plastic in it, who benefits? The oil industry. Anybody think the oil industry is on the up and up?
No.
I mean, when you break it down, there's like nothing you can't buy that's not going to have at least part of something made by a company that you're going to go, that company stinks. So I think let's stuff off the hook on this one. Guys, both of you.
That's why we all do the best we can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and I think it's fair to say we just, you know, for the same reason, I mean, my city doesn't allow plastic bags. You know, you can't get a plastic bag in Corvallis, Oregon. And from a grocery store or anywhere. And there are lots of cities doing that same thing, and I choose bulk purchasing over package purchasing for the plastic issue. I mean, I don't think we just do the best we can, but that it's, you know, it is a part of our movement to say somebody needs to listen. If I'm the consumer, someone needs to listen to me. I don't have to be a consumer victim, right? And I think Egberto has something to say about this. Go ahead, Egberto.
Yeah, one minor exception, and that is I never, ever believed. I used to think I am so strong-minded, right, until I realized that there are people that are likely smarter than I am who know of certain buttons they can push to actually get me subconsciously to react in certain ways. You know, there are ways of doing subliminal messages, and these guys have the butts to put that out there, to put that out. So I think in as much as both Dan and myself, and, well, we all know that nobody here is a sellout, I think it's a good thing to always bounce things off of somebody else in that regards, just in case one of those subliminal messages get in. I was telling a friend of mine the other day that I did an experiment one time when I was listening to this particular right-wing radio station every day. I think I did it for probably 2 weeks or something like that. And believe it or not, after near the end of that time, I was actually thinking certain thoughts of what I was hearing on that particular station. So, I mean, the mind is a funny thing. Just wanted to put that in.
Yeah, I just, Egberto, I want to back you up on that. When I was newly married and living down in Central California, the place where my husband worked had Rush Limbaugh on the radio every single day, and they would not allow him to change the station. And he decided to start his own business to get away from Rush Limbaugh because of this, of what you were just saying. He found himself repeating. He would find things coming out of his mouth that he had heard Rush Limbaugh say and things that was totally unconscious on his part, and he didn't like it. So he took responsibility, to Dan's point, and decided to work somewhere else.
Yeah, it happened to me, and it scared me.
Yeah, it is.
So when you said it scares you, does it mean that you were actually saying things or thinking things you didn't believe?
Yes. I would see a story on another station, and I would run it through his lens. In other words, I would run it through some of those things that had already, even though I know it's not true. And then what happens, though, is your consciousness catches you. Because, you know, when you're watching something, a lot of times you're processing it through it's like, you know, you have involuntary muscle movement or muscle memory they talk about where if you touch a hot object, you react before your brain realizes that object was hot, that sort of a reaction. But then when you're able to go into deeper thought, then that's when you react. That's sort of why sometimes, you know, personally, I try to make that conscious error, that 2 or 3 seconds, I mean, I'm not saying I'm perfect in doing that, because as Dan knows, sometimes I screw up on that as well, but I usually have that 3 to 5 second rule where you try not to respond immediately. You absorb first and say, and that 3 to 5 seconds give you a chance to think, well, if I say this, what the reaction is going to be, or is it really going to be taken this way or that, or, you know, so sometimes you play those mind games with yourself, you know.
Well, that's interesting, because that sort of explains there was like this Twitter storm of negativity, and then it kind of, there was a few follow-up comments, and then it's really dropped to almost quiet, you know, on that kind of reaction to this ad. And then the people that are picking up and spending more time, occupying more space in the, you know, in the periodicals and on the pages are people who are saying, hey, so... I think that's interesting, you know, so you're saying it's possible to have sort of a knee-jerk reaction, you know, it goes, hits the spine and comes back, never goes up the brainstem.
Exactly.
Whether you agree or not.
I really think so. I think it has happened to me before, and that's what I said. It's pretty scary, because if it, you know what we stand for, what we're trying to achieve, and then if you know that if you go into some other environment where you're constantly bombarded. And I wonder if people, in the military and all these things haven't known this for some time, because we always hear about indoctrination and the power of repetition and that sort of a thing. So, I mean, I think there's some truth to that mm-hmm. somewhere.
Oh, there's, just to add another little twist on this, the most of advertising and marketing is founded on some principles that were put in place by Sigmund Freud's nephew, I want to say, and I forget his name, but I can look it up. But he really did talk about how to do mass manipulation. How do you control people through their thoughts? And this is not to excuse us from being personally responsible for it, but it's not to say that people don't try. And if we're not consciously aware of it, then of the attempts to get made to plant thoughts, that's how propaganda gets to be so successful.
So I can give you two perfect examples of what you just talked about, Debbie Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
So one is the sickening use of memes, especially the ones with the graphics, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the one I always have to correct people on is the one with the disfigured Marine, and then it talks about how the people from Congress get like lifetime pensions, pay, and full benefits if they serve in one term, which is wrong. It's just totally wrong. And then I point
it
people
is.
to the place where it is. But the use of memes is exactly, I think, the latest and greatest way of how we are controlled. They flash the picture up there, they say something, you see it repeated a couple of times in a couple of sites, and you just assume it's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I find a great number of memes to be either totally false or very misleading.
Right. Well, it's like Iraq attacked us on 9/11, right?
Exactly.
And look at what that
And they did
cost
not.
Them.
I don't believe that, but a lot of people do. It got repeated often enough.
Yeah, I think when I was coming up in business school, they always said, and we studied advertising, that the magic number seemed to be 7. If somebody hears something, they have to hear something 7 times, and then it's sunk in. And actually, I could speak a little bit to the science. I don't want to get boring here, but of the two phenomena that Egberto talked to, which is actually they're kind of at the opposite end of the spectrum. So when you touch a hot stove, that message actually goes to your spine, which used to have brain function, and it turns around at your spine and goes right back. Which it never gets to the brain. You don't consciously think about it because your spine actually is smart enough. Still, it's a prehistoric brain to know, oh, that's hot. That's not a good thing. The other thing you're talking about is the opposite, which is the conditioning, which is hitting that part of your psyche over and over and over again. Right. Remember how people used to think you could listen to tapes like while you sleep, and that's how it was a great way to learn. And there's some truth to that.
Right.
That your body is you're relaxed and your mind is open.
Dan, I think that's a perfect distinction right there. One is conditioning and one is reflexive. I like that. And the one that I was talking about was conditioning. You're correct.
Right. But you and I were both reflexive on my show the other night to our friend who called in. And we all kind of got reflexive and got angry.
Please don't remind us about that.
That's okay. No. We have to remember so we don't repeat our mistakes. That's okay. It's okay to lose, Egberto. Just don't lose the lesson.
Excellent. Excellent. So, the best example of this I ever had demonstrated to me was a guy in front of a room of thousands of people, and he said basically, do you think you learn things you don't intend to learn? And, there's a rumble of response. And he said, okay. And he started singing the Gilligan's Island song.
Yep.
And everybody in the room, 1,000 people, started singing along with him. We knew every verse. We knew every line. And at the end of it, I mean, you got 1,000 people, almost standing up for the final line of Gilligan's Island. And he said, now, how many of you sat down and tried to learn that? Nobody had tried to learn the tune, the words, the Gilligan's Island, but everybody knew it because they'd heard it and heard it and heard it. And as soon as it was invoked, they could sing it, and people who wouldn't sing would stand up and sing the Gilligan's Island song. And so that was the most Orwellian or Gogol-esque demonstration I've ever seen of how people really are programmed against their will. Another thing is that I have to have popcorn at movies. I have to have it. Back in the 60s, actually in the 50s, when I started going to movies, they had the subliminal suggestions. They actually had pictures of popcorn and people having a great time with popcorn embedded in the advertisements before the film so that you didn't see it and you didn't know it was there. But what you knew is you were craving popcorn, right? And mm-hmm. So, you know, we've all experienced this phenomena of how beliefs or impressions or reactions can be programmed or how we can be subjected to that. I have friends who, to this day, will not watch television because they know that it's possible. It's possible to be done. And just because it's illegal doesn't mean it doesn't happen. That's their philosophy. I'm not taking a position on that right now.
I can give you a great example of a meme that everybody in the world has been subjected to, and that when it was pointed out to me that it was false, I freaked out. Right? And here it is. Ready? You ask people, what does practice make? Does practice make perfect? Yes, that's wrong. Practice makes permanent. Only perfect practice makes perfect. It's just as easy to ingrain a bad habit as a good one.
Yes. Oh, that gave me a tricky feeling.
Exactly, because everybody in the world thinks practice makes perfect. No, it doesn't. Practice makes permanent.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
I love that new distinction there.
Right. Well, with that, we're coming to the end of our hour together, and I want to remind people of a couple of things. One is that there are 4 Blog Talk Radio shows put on by Coffee Talk Radio, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, Progressive Politics, Tennessee Style with Bud Fields, Mondays, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, Press 1 for Democracy with Dan Aronson. You just heard him crush our idea that practice makes perfect. Thursdays, Here You Are, Lunch with Loudon, 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, and Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, Politics Done Right with Egberto Willis. Egberto, thank you for your contribution here today. I want to remind our listeners that Coffee Party USA is a totally grassroots-funded organization. Citizens United has not benefited us. If you'd like to become a member, go to www.coffeepartyusa.com, find the big red member button, and if you'd like to just donate and not be a member, that means you can't vote or be contacted about policy issues. But if that's your cup of coffee, then also go to www.coffeepartyusa and click on donate. So with that, I want to thank all of you, WN, Egberto, Linda, Jack, who is not with us any longer, Dan, and our other listeners. It's been wonderful with you here today. Coffee party on.